Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by the company Doctors. I'm Eileen Frere, along with the president and CEO, Randy McKinley. To date, we have delivered 53 successful business turnarounds. Our senior team has a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of hands-on experience with Fortune 100 companies right down to mom and pops. In this podcast, we're talking customer service, how to deal with difficult customers. Here with some practical tips, Joe Levy, a retired commander with Long Beach Police, a SWAT hostage negotiator. He is the owner of Embassy Consulting Services, which provides workplace training.
Well, Joe, we know how this pandemic has changed most, if not all, businesses, and how it's added extra challenges for those on the front line, for the people who have to deal face-to-face with customers, and maybe talk about what some of those extra stresses are.
Absolutely. So, you know, just at its core, dealing with the public can be challenging in and of itself, dealing with a diverse group of individuals. But now, as you mentioned, now you throw on top of that the stressors associated with the pandemic and any other high profile incidents or activities or events that are happening. And for, as an example, in the United States, with a lot of the social unrest and racial strife, the pandemic, wildfires, obviously those can add an additional burden or burdens on top of people's stressors as they go about their day-to-day. And so I think this topic that we're talking about today is really, really critical for all those individuals that are dealing with the public. And what I hope to do is to provide the listeners with some additional tools to add to their tool belt or their tool chest so that they can interact effectively with difficult or challenging customers or trying to diffuse situations that have the potential to escalate.
You know, really what you're talking about, if I had to go summarize it, is emotional intelligence. And, you know, that self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and that relationship management. And a lot of that, I think, is getting lost in the world as it's transitioned from being in the office place, and then now everything's virtual. So you're not really having that, getting that touch, that feel. And, you know, where there's so much communication that occurs from one person to another just by looking at them and being with them, as you know.
You're absolutely right, Randy. And, you know, for those listeners that are not familiar with emotional intelligence, or sometimes referred to as EQ, those are all those soft skills that can really benefit situations for folks who are dealing with the public. And the tragedy is that there are some people who I encounter who think that they are very, very self-aware, right? And they are very, very social aware. And the reality is they may not be, right? They're walking around with blinders on, right? And they've got blind spots. And so EQ is, and the research behind EQ or emotional intelligence is that these skills can be improved. We all know what IQ is, our emotional intelligence. And research suggests that you can't really bump up your IQ. It's pretty much set at a young age. However, EQ, all those skills that you talked about, self-management, self-awareness, social awareness, relationship management, those are skills that you can work on and you can improve on, right? And the book that I make reference to is Emotional Intelligence 2.0, EQ 2.0 by Bradbury and Graves. And it's a great book. We do training. We do a full 8-hour training on EQ. And the beauty of this book is folks can take an assessment that's included. It gives you scores in those four competencies. And you could retake that assessment 6 months later to see whether or not you've taken advantage of the strategies that are in that book to improve those competencies.
I was fortunate enough to be able to be part of one of your training seminars. And I know that you mentioned that the only thing that you really have control over is how you respond to what others do or say. So maybe what are some of those skills that would help workers deal with, let's say, a very difficult customer?
You're absolutely right. I mean, we operate on a very basic premise that you can't control what other people do or say. The only thing you have control over is how you choose to respond to what other people do or say. You're only responsible or in control of your emotions. So it really requires an individual to take an introspective look at themselves or to do a self-examination to examine, hey, what are their emotional triggers, right? What are the things that they know have the potential to push their buttons. And by recognizing what those emotional triggers are, you can perhaps harness and develop some strategies to help prevent you from going down the road you don't want to go down. So, such as breathing, you know, taking a deep breath, buying time, acknowledging that, you know, you're experiencing an emotional reaction, using positive self-talk, right? And then another big piece is active listening. You know, active listening is critical in diffusing situations, because when people are upset or individuals are dealing with challenging people, a lot of times they just want to be heard. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who think that they're good talkers, but not very good with listening. And so active listening is critical.
Totally agree. You know, it's when you look over time, I think many years ago, the active listening skills were much better. And I don't know why. I mean, is it the education? Is it the environment?
We do a lot of work with many, many organizations. And the number one issue that organizations are faced with is communication. That's the number one issue. Either miscommunication, conflict as a result of lack of communication, disrespectful communication. And, you know, a lot of times it just comes down to respect. But the problem is that respect looks, sounds, feels, tastes different to different people. And so when it comes to communication, a lot of people take a cookie cutter approach and default to the golden rule. I'll say, well, that's why I try to live by the golden rule. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. Well, that's problematic, because maybe not everybody wants to be treated the way you want to be treated. So we feel that we need to evolve from the golden rule into the platinum rule. And the platinum rule simply is, I'm going to go about my day-to-day trying to treat people the way they want to be treated. So it's a complete shift, right? And once again, active listening is a skill that requires practice, right? It involves listening. It requires empathy, trying to get into the other person's shoes. It requires paraphrasing. It requires body language, eye contact, providing feedback. So what I'm hearing you say is active listening is a really important part of effective communication. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I think, you know, in our day-to-day, we're not typically seeing people who are effective communicators, which requires not only being an effective speaker, but also an effective listener.
It's fascinating that you mentioned that. I like what you said. That was, you know, it's not the golden rule. You're using the platinum rule. I think that is important. And one of the things that I take away from that is in business, and I tell businesses all the time, is when you hear something, you turn around, you repeat it back to them in your own words, what you thought you hear, what I call check for understanding. It's just like if you sit down and you put 10 people in a row, right? And I tell a story to the first person. They tell it to the second person. They tell it to the third person. Tell it to the fourth. I get to the 10th person. That story is 100% different than the original story that I told. And it's because no one's checking for understanding.
Exactly. And if they employed some of those strategies, so before I pass on the message, is this what I'm hearing you say? And you repeat it back to them. It's going to obviously make that communication more accurate.
Absolutely.
Let's say that you're listening. You're using your listening skills. You're doing the best that you can, but you've got this customer, and the customer is just getting on your nerves. They are pushing all those right buttons. What do you do?
I say patience, right? You've got to exercise a great deal of patience. And, you know, once you've had the opportunity to hear this person, you want to try to move towards a win-win, what I call a win-win, right? So what are their needs? What are my needs? And what are the needs of the situation, right? And it's kind of a model that's used with relationships. So the anatomy of relationships is, if any one of those three pieces breaks down, like my needs, your needs, the needs of the situation, if one of them breaks down, then it's not going to be a healthy relationship. You're not going to be able to resolve the conflict. So what I would suggest is that if there is some way to understand what that individual's needs are, what are your needs? Do I need to make a compromise or a sacrifice or use a little discretion? And what are the needs of the situation to make it a win-win? So they win, I win, the organization, the company wins. That's what we really want to move towards. And then, of course, there'll be boundaries, because if you're dealing with somebody who is now starting to make threats or use obscenities, then we've got to kind of go down another road. And there's some effective strategies that I can share with your listeners to kind of deal with those situations that are highly highly, you know, volatile.
Can you share a couple of those?
Sure, sure. So the basic premise and the ideology behind threats and obscenities that customers are using is you have to stop it, and you have to stop it early. You have to shut it down. Because if there are other people around, it has the potential to affect other people, right? And compromise their safety and well-being. So you have to shut it down. If you don't shut it down, it also sends a message to that individual that, hey, it could be an anything goes situation. Hey, if this employee is not stopping me from dropping the F-bomb or using obscenities, then maybe I can escalate this and take it to the next level. Now get physical. So it's really critical to shut things down. And then the two strategies that I like to use is that when I'm dealing with somebody who is highly irate, using obscenities or making threats, is I will simply say in a calm tone, ma'am or sir, I'm sorry, but if you continue to use profanity, I will not be able to assist you. And I'm using a calm, clear voice. I'm sorry, but if you continue to use obscenity, I will not be able to help you. And I really want to try to resolve the situation. So it sends a very clear message, right? And sets boundaries and lets them know what their options are, that if they continue, then we're not going to be able to continue this conversation and they're not going to get their issue resolved. However, they have an option that they can tone it down, okay, and refrain from using obscenities, and then we can continue to work towards some kind of resolution.
There was two things that take away from that was something I had learned early on was what I call the power of differences. And what was taught was somebody's talking really loud, you talk more quiet. And what happens is humans have a hard time dealing with that when there's such a difference. They will try to bridge the gap. Am I correct?
That is correct. And that's the logic in de-escalation. That if you take a less confrontational, less authoritative, less controlling approach, you will actually end up getting more control.
It's fantastic that you use the voice and then words. You started it with, I'm sorry. Those are very, very, very powerful words. And why are those so powerful?
They are extremely powerful. In fact, I say that I am sorry, or I apologize, or I was wrong, are the most powerful words in the English language. Because when you have wronged somebody, when you have offended somebody, when you've said something that offends somebody, saying I'm sorry, I apologize, or I was wrong really conveys empathy, right? However,
absolutely,
when you say I'm sorry, it has to be said with sincerity, right? And absolutely, there's another component to that is you also have to make a commitment to not repeat, right? Or continue with that behavior that you said you were sorry for, because that tells me that you're not really sorry. You're just kind of going through the motions, right? So it's about, you know, being sincere with the apology and saying I'm sorry, but also making a commitment not to continue the behavior or using those words that are continuing to offend or upset other people.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joe shares his cheat sheet, what to say and do when face-to-face with a difficult customer. That's coming up right after this.
Embassy Consulting Services offers a range of programs, including youth leadership, diversity training, workplace training with the goal of improving the quality of your workplace or school environment. Embassy can even customize a program to suit your organization's needs. Go to embassyconsultingservices.com. That's embassyconsultingservices.com.
Better profits, reduce taxes, increase cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. Today, we have helped 68 companies and counting make more money with our bookkeeping and accounting services and best practices. How do we do it? Simple. We're a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, to find ways, cut costs while making your books easy to understand, plus government and bank ready at all times. Add in secure virtual platforms, key technology. We can execute all parts of bookkeeping and accounting seamlessly anywhere. And we give you access to our complete library of critical business competency courses free of charge. As you can see, we are the next level in bookkeeping and accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. If you have part-time bookkeeping and accounting, or full-time, or something in the middle, give us a call and do a comparison before you hire another employee or a bookkeeper down the street. Schedule your complimentary business review by visiting thecompanydoctors.com. thecompanydrs.com. Click on Bookkeeper, and then there's Appointment Scheduler. And let's get your company the real value it deserves today, because you'll be shocked how inexpensive quality bookkeeping and accounting can be for you.
Back with Joe Levy. So how do you handle that challenging customer?
You know, if I was to provide your listeners with like a cheat sheet or simple, quick model that they can use today, tomorrow, when they encounter a difficult or challenging individual, is this three-pronged active listening model. And it's really simple. And the first piece is, I'm sorry, you are, and you fill in the blank, upset. I'm sorry, you are frustrated. I can see how frustrated or how frustrating that can be. And what can I do or say right now to reduce your frustration? So once again, it's a simple three-prong approach. I'm sorry you are upset. I can see how upsetting that could be. And what can I do or say right now to reduce your frustration or help resolve this matter? Now, in order for this model to work, we got to go back to what Randy talked about earlier. You actually have to listen. You've really got to be open to listen to what are they frustrated about? What is that emotion? And you take that emotion and you plug that emotion into this model. I'm sorry you are frustrated, disappointed, upset, right? I could see how upsetting or disappointing that would be. I would be disappointed too. And what can I do or say right now to make this right? And a lot of times with that last piece is sometimes as employees, we feel compelled to come up with the fix or the right answer when we fail to just ask or put the ball in their court. Hey, what will it take right now to resolve this matter? Well, if you would just, you know, talk to your colleague and tell them in the future not to give out inaccurate information that will, you know, blah, 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 blah. Absolutely. That's such a valid point. I can assure you that when we are done with our conversation, I'm going to go back and have that conversation with my colleague to prevent this from happening in the future.
You really put it into a simple nutshell, because when I go into a business and I'm talking to the executives, the leaders, the people in the company, there's certain things I always tell them. I said, number one, you're not perfect. Number two is your employees want you to be real and let them know that you're not perfect. So that gets into number three, which is what you said of that three-prong model is, I'm sorry, that's self-ownership. Two, you're recognizing what their situation is. So, hey, their emotion, their state, which is I can't see. And then the third thing to that is, what can I do to go bridge that gap? And that actually means you would be a great leader. And I wish I could go give this to everybody in the world, because just those simple things that you talked about could transform an average leader into a great leader, because they're always afraid, I have to be perfect. That is garbage.
Power of humility, because that's exactly what you're talking about, right? Recognizing that you don't have to have all the answers. You're genuine, you're authentic, you're human, right? And to be able to take some ownership, right, for your mistakes, or take ownership for the fact that you may not know something, there's great, great power in that. And I wish, you know, I could see more leaders really embrace that basic concept of leadership. It's about humility, being humble, right? And recognizing you don't know it all. But as a leader, you know, if I don't know, I'm going to tell my employee, you know, that's a great question. I don't know, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find out. Okay. But then I'm going to take it another step further and say that I'm going to find out, and then I'm going to get back to you by the end of the day or by tomorrow or by the end of the week. And then as a leader, for credibility, you got to actually do what? Follow through and get back to your people by the end of the day, by the end of tomorrow or the end of the week.
Absolutely. I think you nailed it right on the head. People misconstrue what a leader really is. You don't have all the answers. You're an aggregator, and you are setting a specific tone for a business on how you do things. And they watch you and they model you just like a parent, right?
You're right. I mean, and what you're talking about is a growth mindset, right? Having a growth mindset, which means I can learn something from anybody, right? The person at the lowest end of the chain to the highest, you know, level within the organization and everything in between, right?
100%.
And that's a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. Unfortunately, and you just recently here, I'll share a quick example. We were doing some leadership training for an organization, and there was a mid-level manager who had his arms folded and appeared just through his body language to be very, very resistant. We were talking about some basic leadership styles, and he raises his hand and says, leadership is not learned. You know, either you got it or you don't, right? So that's a fixed mindset. That is somebody that does not have a growth mindset. And he went on later to say that there's nothing you guys are going to be able to teach me because I got it all figured out. So the interesting is the more I learn, the more I realize there's more to learn, right? And once again, just having that open mindset, right? That growth mindset, open mindset, that humility that I can learn from anybody. I can learn from a 3-year-old. I can learn from a 73-year-old, right?
Joe, as a retired commander with Long Beach Police and after working decades and decades in law enforcement and also as a SWAT hostage negotiator, is there one key thing that you took away from your interactions with others that helps you today?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we hear a lot about how people want to be treated with respect. And yeah, I mean, we could start with that. But I like to kind of think about my experiences. And I spent the bulk of my career really working to change the culture of the police department and build the partnerships between members of our community and law enforcement, because trust is so important. And unfortunately, trust is eroded in the profession. So respect is important, but I try to live a life of not only just treating people with respect, but treating people with human dignity, right? Human dignity. And unfortunately, throughout the course of my career, you know, early on, I thought it was all about hooking and booking and arresting people. But after a few years, I come to realize that not everybody that we arrest is a bad person. They just maybe made some poor choices, right? And we've all made poor choices. And this individual that we arrested, you know, what's the background? You know, are they suffering from a mental illness? Were they exposed to severe psychological, emotional, sexual trauma, right? That, you know, poverty. There's so many different aspects of life that affect people and who they are. And so if we could try to not only treat others with respect, but with human dignity, leaving them with that fabric that, you know, you're a human being first, right? So if you could see people as humans first, and then you could tack on, okay, this is a human being who perhaps is living with a mental illness, or this is a human being who is, you know, suffering or living with a substance use disorder. This is a human being who is exposed to trauma. And if we see people as human beings first, I think that could help develop a little bit more compassion for where people are at. And that's really about human dignity.
Totally agree.
Joe, we could talk to you for hours. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you for sitting down with the company doctors.
Oh, thank you. And thank you both, Randy and Eileen. And thank you to the company doctors for the value that you're bringing to your respective audiences. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Joe Levy is the owner of Embassy Consulting Services. Until next time, good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company doctors and you.